welcome to TBP Talks, the Blogger Programs podcast. I'm your host, Olivia Kate, and this is your dose of influencer trends, current topics, industry events, and all things millennial. We will be getting up close and personal with some of the blogger industry's most renowned influencers, experts, and thought leaders. We hope to give you all the tips and tricks that you need to nail the world of influence. Good morning and welcome to TBP Talks. This is episode 2 of the Blogger Programs podcast, and if you are tuning in again, then thank you. If you are new here, then welcome. My name's Olivia, and today I am joined by 3 more TBP team members. We have Shirin, Head of Operations here at TBP.
Hello.
Sahar, who oversees our influencer events and campaigns. Hello. And Laurie, who is Head of our in-house talent management.
Hello.
So this week we are going to kickstart by talking about Instagram TV. So for those who don't know, this is Instagram's new TV app that now allows users to watch long form vertical videos on the app. And it also has a standalone app which you can download as well. So do we think this is going to be a game changer for content creators and influencers? And what do you guys think about this new addition?
I don't know if it's me a game changer. I think that for content creators who have YouTube as their main platform, it's not really going to be something that they're going to invest all their time in. I think that maybe, like, for behind the scenes, how they use stories, it might be quite fun. But considering that YouTube offers them so much more in terms of, like, I think IGTV you can only film vertically, you can't do horizontal stuff, whereas for an actual content creator, I think being able to film horizontal is quite important. I don't really feel like they would jump ship at the moment, unless they, I know that they've got the separate app as well as being able to access it via Instagram, but unless they are planning to make, to bring in more features to it that might compete with YouTube, I don't think at the moment it's just like a cool addition.
Yeah, it could be more of a platform that they can promote other things, because I don't think with Instagram TV at the moment you are paid through it. Obviously YouTube, you get exactly paid for your content.
I think that for like an Instagram influencer who hasn't got a YouTube channel, I know one of the girls that we manage, she hasn't got YouTube, but we're always trying to encourage her to do some filming or beauty stuff. So I think that for people like that who don't want to make the jump over to YouTube, because it's such a big channel and a big platform to have to grow a whole new audience with Instagram, you've still got the audience there, and you could just use that as like an additional method of content creation.
Definitely.
I think as well it's a good way for them to kind of test the waters out to see if they even want to try YouTube, because I think a lot of influencers we've spoken to and we've worked with are a little bit maybe intimidated by giving YouTube a go, but would be so good on it.
Yeah,
have definitely the personality and the character for it, but maybe it's just a bit overwhelming. So I think IGTV is a good way to test that out, see how their audience reacts to it, and see whether they actually would do well on YouTube. And also, I think with IGTV, there's no adverts, right, at the moment.
So
I suppose from a viewer perspective, it's a little bit better to watch. And also, in terms of influencers and bloggers, but there's also like influencers who are like celebrity status now as well, who can, you know, like there's reality stars and stuff, so they'll be able to record their life. And if they don't have YouTube channels, it's another good way for people to keep up with them. So I don't know that it's like a threat against YouTube necessarily, but it's definitely a step in a good direction for Instagram.
And do you think it could be similar to Instagram stories? Because people were very hesitant to change from Snapchat to Instagram stories, and then it sort of pretty much moved on straight onto Instagram stories, and there's not a lot of people really doing stories on Snapchat anymore. Do you not think it could sort of have that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. That the way that Instagram stories start, I remember the office reaction was that everyone was like, what is this? They're trying to copy Snapchat. It's never going to work. And in no time at all, I mean, it's the only thing I use. I've deleted Snapchat from my phone completely. So that's how I feel, that if Instagram is going to do what they did with Instagram stories and add all these additional features, as I had mentioned, then potentially in the future it could be a threat. But I do agree, at the moment it doesn't even compare. So
I think it's at the moment quite daunting to have to go on YouTube and build up a whole new audience.
Yeah, of course.
Like when everyone says, oh, it's so difficult to become a blogger now, it's like the sort of fear of starting an Instagram, like, oh, once they follow me, once they don't follow me, once if I don't make it like on that platform or grow a following, it takes out that aspect of it, which I think would probably put quite a lot of influencers, even if they've got a big following Instagram, like a 5 or a 10K, you wouldn't want to start YouTubing just in case you don't get that.
No, I think Instagram TV really has that benefit of if you've already built up your following on your Instagram, it would be a no-brainer to move over to that. I think what will be really interesting to see is how it performs, because we're sort of full of a world that's got quickly digestible content, and now Instagram TV, the whole point of it is for long videos. So obviously smaller snapshot videos on Instagram posts are working really well at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see sort of the dynamic and where that goes.
And also quite a lot of influencers don't like posting videos on their grid, unless it's like a fitness Instagram where they've got like workout videos. If it's like a fashion Instagram, I know that the guys that we manage, they hate doing videos on their grid just because it doesn't look as nice when you've got like the cover fit video to a static image. So I think that's quite a nice way to be able to have that video content there where their followers can actually see what they're like and what their personalities are like without having them on the grid.
Yeah.
I think as well, one of the main, possibly one of the main competitors for IGTV is actually with Instagram stories.
Yeah, and definitely.
I think they're kind of producing almost the answer themselves.
Yeah, that's so true.
So talking of content, the Competition and Markets Authority have launched an investigation recently into the concerns that social media influencers are not properly declaring when they have been paid to endorse goods and services. And this has come from consumer protection laws that require posts to be properly labelled. And the CMA said it has seen examples of posts which appear to promote or endorse products without clearly stating if the post has been paid for. Now, all of us here work with influencers on various brand collaborations daily. So what rules do we put in place at TBP to ensure that this doesn't happen on any of our campaigns?
So at the moment we have a what we call an influencer brief for each and every influencer that we work with on each and every campaign. It outlines the basic details of the campaign, what's going on, what they need to do. But also there is a very clear legal section where we generally ask all of our influencers to use hashtag ad or spawn or whatever the requirement is for that specific post. So we go to quite great lengths, I'd say, to make sure that we do kind of abide by the rules that are out there. But I do appreciate that they can be relatively vague and suddenly it kind of pops up in the press and everyone panics. But I think, to be honest, you always need to be prudent with these things and rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think for time, I think that when they're working with a lot of brands, maybe the thought of putting hashtag ad to every product, for them, I can see that they don't want their followers to think, oh, they're only doing every single post sponsored because they just want the money, when actually they might just really like every single product that they're working with and being paid to do it. But I think it also comes down to the people that you're following. So for example, if it's like a reality star, I think you're more sceptical as to whether they're, you know, using it because they're getting paid or not. Whereas if it's someone that you genuinely follow because you love what they're doing and you love their clothes and every single post you've really liked and you know that they're sort of genuine and say exactly what they feel. There's a couple of girls that I know that all the things that they posted I've really, really liked, and whether they're getting paid for it or not, they still like it too, otherwise they would wear it. So I think it also comes down to like whether you trust the people that you're following.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of it's down to the credibility of the influencer. Like, people could be, you could post ad like 6 or 7 times, but if it's a brand that you're generally used to working with and you actually enjoy working with, then why would it not be? Why should it not be an ad? You know, but I think it just, a lot of it relies on the relationship with the influencer, and again, like Loz said, the trust that you hold with them. But yeah.
And do you think this investigation may cause a lot of change in the influencer marketing industry? Do you reckon there will be more rules and regulations put in place?
No, I think at the moment the industry lacks regulation, and I think that's definitely being noticed. And that's why, and I think that's part of the problem, that people aren't exactly sure what exactly they're meant to be doing. They're like, is hashtag ad enough? There was an article recently that said hashtag ad isn't enough unless it's at the beginning of the post. There's another article that says hashtag ad is more than, you know, it's just,
I also think influencers get confused as to if they should have them on their stories, on their posts, on their videos, like where.
And especially as well, they're now saying that if you're gifted a product, you may not be paid for it, but because you're paid by being gifted the product, then you have to use hashtag ad as well, which is then becomes quite difficult because you've been sent items by a brand, and some of it you might have bought it yourself and some of it might have been gifted.
I also think that some some brands are almost scared if an influencer posts and they've agreed to collaboration with them, they're scared to be like, oh, sorry, can you actually hashtag ahead in case they say no?
Definitely.
But they have to, like, that should be a...
I know, that's the thing is, I think that, again, depends on the influencer that you're working with. If you're going to get one that's... you're going to get someone that's not going to do that and fight against them, then is that really the sort of person you're working with?
No, exactly. And I don't think brands can run that risk anyway. But as well as the whole gifting thing as well, I recently read that even if you've worked with a brand in the past and they've paid you for collaboration in the past, but then you've gone out and brought a product and you've even just tagged that that product was from Zara or Dior or Chanel, whatever, then you have to use the hashtag ad. Just
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Do you not think that's taking the creativity out of what actually influence is?
But I don't think there's a problem with stating ad or spawn. Like, I don't get all the big, why is it an issue?
No, definitely not. But if you're not actually sponsored for that specific post, I don't feel like you should have to say hashtag ad. If you, for example, if you work with Topshop and then the next week you just bought something from Topshop and then you post your followers that you like this, whatever you bought, why should you have to then say this is an ad? Because they haven't paid you to go out and buy that specific thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not a natural thing to do, so...
I think that's where the fine line is, and in sort of weeks and months to come, if things do change, it will be really interesting to see sort of what regulations they put in place.
Also, that new feature, well, it's not that new anymore, but there's the feature now where at the top, just where you attend the location, it says...
Paid sponsors.
...partnership with and the brand, which is actually a really... I think Instagram introduced that. It's such a clever way to do it, because... it doesn't ruin like the caption or whatever of the post. If you put that in, then that's you clarifying that it's paid or sponsored. So
I know some profiles haven't actually got access to that.
Yeah,
I think it's a trial thing for the moment with selected or sort of higher tier influencers, but possibly something that they might roll out eventually with all sort of businessy accounts. I'm not sure, but.
It'd be a really good addition, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think going forward, though, whether you're a brand or an influencer, it's something that you need to keep an eye on and make sure you're doing, you know, the bare minimum at least, and wait for further regulation to come.
So moving on from rules and regulations, and on a slightly lighter note, I'm not sure if any of you have seen, but Strictly Come Dancing 2018 is coming back onto our screens, and there's already rumours of contestants who's joining the celebrity lineup this year. So have we got any Strictly fans here?
My mum loves it.
I'm more of an X Factor girl.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Oh, I'm a big Strictly.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, less so.
Well, there are some pretty decent names supposedly in talks with BBC bosses, but one that's got everyone talking is YouTube star and brother of influencer Zoella, Joe Sugg. So Joe is a massive YouTube star with over 8 million followers. He is also the author of 3 graphic novels and has made cameos in a number of smaller movies. Yet there is still speculation saying that he isn't, and I say this in quotation marks, a celebrity and therefore should not be in the lineup. So what do you guys think about this?
I think, though, like, what is that celebrity status now has completely been redefined, because you get reality stars that go on these shows now. Mm. Why are they celebrities?
Yeah.
What's
or
the difference? Like, at the end of the day, these people are, if anything, have more of an impact and an influence and are making the same sort of, like, they have the same sort of status. Okay, it might not be on television, but it's on the internet, which is essentially where a lot of the, it's kind of the same thing. And I think if, say, Instagram or YouTube was to, God forbid, die tomorrow, like, what do these people also need to have something? So it's great that they are able to even go and take these opportunities. Yeah. Like, why would you not?
So you guys think he is deserving of a place?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually know who he is, but considering, like, we've seen his followings and the impact that he has, I agree with Sahar completely. Like, he's got absolutely huge following. He's written books, he's an author, he's, you know, content creator, influencer. I don't really feel that he should be in any lesser position not to go on compared to people who are, I would say,
yeah, I mean, what is the definition of a celebrity? It's not necessarily just an actor or an actress, or if they've been in the latest soap or whatever. I mean, David Beckham is a celebrity, and he was famous because of his talent for being able to play football. So this Joe Sugg, his talent is being an influencer, producing amazing content, writing books and so on. So he is therefore a celebrity, and just the same as anyone else that's competing.
Yeah. And what do you think this means for influencers if they're starting to sort of transition into TV shows? This will totally change, like you said, the meaning of a celebrity. Do you think this could be a game changer for influencers?
I think it's such an amazing direction. Like, who would have thought 5-10 years ago that this would be, that social media would be a platform that could get you onto television?
I know.
Get you, like, the exposure for that is amazing. And again, like I said, if these platforms were to slow down, you know, crash, or there was a break in Instagram for a week, like, it's so cool that they even get to do these opportunities and continue to grow themselves in different ways. Like, if it's going to have a positive impact, why? I think it's really exciting, and actually should, if anything, encourage more people to kind of branch out. And there's so much, I guess, a bit of stigma behind being an influencer and how difficult it is to make it look like when you work hard, look where it gets you.
I think it's really typical of our generation. Like, we're digital, absolutely everything. Everything's online, everything's tech, everything's, you know, 21st century. So I think it's, why wouldn't that happen? It's just like almost like a natural progression.
Yeah.
But yeah, as Sahar said, like, I think it's only fair that Instagram influencers and bloggers and YouTubers get the opportunity to try different avenues as well. Like, why should they just be limited to the one? They've got that influence. They've got that audience, same as everyone else. Like you said, same as a football player. Why wouldn't they be allowed to do that?
I think they have so much scope nowadays, don't they? You have influencers talking at events. You've got podcast influencers. You've even got now brands not wanting to hire normal models and having influencers as their brand image. So I think if you sort of compare it to modelling, it's exactly the same. They're just another person that's a face of something. So I think it's a great move for Joe, and we wish him the best of luck. So a big topic in the news at the moment, and it's not surprising as it's quite shocking, is that millennials are turning to their favourite Snapchat and Instagram filters to achieve cosmetic perfection. So according to a study, young people are going under the knife to look like they do in their filtered selfies. And surgeons are finding that when patients enter their clinics for a cosmetic consultation, they're no longer bringing photos of other celebrities or people, but rather altered images of themselves.
Oh my God.
So experts are warning that this could be a sign of an underlying mental health condition, which has now been termed Snapchat dysmorphia.
Oh my God.
And they're treating it as a form of body dysmorphic disorder, which is BDD. So what do you guys think about this?
That is outrageous.
That's insane.
I mean, the thing is, it's like when people use Snapchat filters and then post it as their photo on Instagram, it's like, we can see that you've got that. Like, I can see the flowers.
That baffles me. I don't know why people do that.
I think it's so sad, but again, so typical of
our generation.
Yeah, we've got such, like, Instagram is amazing for so many things, but body dysmorphia and Instagram and feeling the pressure, and with young girls as well, like, it's such a heavy topic.
Absolutely.
It's so prevalent. And, like, it's just so difficult not to get wrapped up in it. Like, I know so many people have deleted Instagram and they've felt the best they've ever felt. Mm. But in saying that, you can get so many amazing things from Instagram. Like, you trust in your people you follow more than you trust reading the paper, or for some people.
I think as well, I was reading on Twitter the other day, someone did a post about one of the girls in Geordie Shore, I can't remember her name, but there was a before and after, and someone was like, this is actually, someone commented like, perfect body, and then someone else was like, this is actually really sad. Like, before she was like,
just as beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she obviously is putting yourself through a body, through a lot of trauma to, I mean, everyone's going to have their own ways of happiness, and if it's going to make you happy, then fine. But I don't know. I think Snapchat has a part to play in that, but I think a lot of that just comes down to this generation. Like, look at the Kardashians as your examples. Like, I just feel like it's a mixture of everything.
I think it's really sad that anyone would take that to such an extreme. I think we've all used the Snapchat and Instagram filters, that make you look amazing. But I mean, for me, we used it last weekend and we didn't dwell on it. And actually, the photos that I actually post on social media, they didn't have any filters on. Because for me, I want to capture me and my friends actually having a good time looking the way we look, however that is.
At the same time, it has, I think, the positives outweigh the negatives. Like, it brings so many opportunities to people. And it's also a great platform to raise awareness for the same matters, if anything, but for lots of different things, for health, for charity, for bringing people together, for friendship. So I think definitely the pros overweigh everything else.
Yeah, and I think also it opens your eyes up to a lot of niches. You may feel like you're the only person in the world that, I don't know, like, are into extreme piercings or whatever, but then before you know it, a few hashtags here and there, and then you've managed to find hundreds of thousands of people that relate to and like the same things that you do, and that feeling of not feeling alone anymore, you know, you can't, money can't buy that.
So a big jump from cosmetic surgery to books. There are some great reads and books out there at the moment. So for those wanting to maybe get engrossed in a new book, whether that be a good story or a self-development book, what are you guys reading at the moment and what are you loving?
I have read a few recently. I read one, I like a good thriller.
So I love a thriller.
Yeah, well, I read one called Good Me, Bad Me, which is really quite good, a bit dark, but it's quite good. And then my dad actually recommended me this book. What have you got me into? But it's called The Book of Dust, and it's got three it's a trilogy, and it's basically all about like different worlds, but it sort of relates back to the world that we live in at the moment. It's all about like subconscious and unknown.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, you know, when you think of like, and it's got another world, it's got angels and witches in and stuff, so it's all mixed together. And I thought I'd absolutely hate it because that's not my thing at all,
but you've actually really enjoyed it. Still going.
I read on my last holiday, I read this book called Wonder, and it was about this little boy that has a facial like kind of scarring thing, and it's like his experience going to school for the first time, and it was just like the cutest book I have ever read, and it just had me in floods of tears. So cute.
That sounds like a great holiday read.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Oh, is
I think that might be it.
Oh, maybe it is.
It's called Wonder.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
What, his son goes to school and he's got like...
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Oh my god, it's so good. Yes. Oh my god. No, but the book is so good. I always like to read the book before the film. But I read like a really wide range of books. Like, I've just read Steve Jobs' biography, or I read like books about managing money.
Yeah.
Or, like,
I love a good self-development book as well.
Yeah, loads of self-help books. So
a recent one I read was The Couple Next Door.
I read that.
Yeah. So again, very similar. I don't think you can call it a thriller, but I love something that kind of gets you off the... you don't know what's going to happen. And it's, cut a long story short, a couple at a dinner party and their baby goes missing. And then, as expected, the story revolves around where their daughter is and whether she's alive or not. And it's everyone sort of intertwined. So the neighbours are involved and the grandparents.
So good.
You know what I love? Same as the film. I like it when there's like different groups of people. Yeah. Different circumstances, but somehow linked together.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of Eleanor Oliphant is
Yes, I've read
fine.
That.
You haven't?
Yeah.
So I've ordered it. I've ordered it off Amazon. I can't wait to read it.
So good. It's kind of on the same lines as Wonder.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good. You should read both of them.
So would you guys say you're more of a book person or a TV person?
Definitely Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't actually, like, it's so bad. I used to read a lot more and then I kind of fell out of it when I just got a bit busier and a bit older, but that's not the excuse. But I guess I am more of a Netflix person because I feel like I switch off a little bit better when I'm watching like a series. I love watching like thriller or crime documentaries, like anything murder mysteries and stuff like that. Oh yeah, we love the cinema.
Oh my god, that was so good. Really? No.
Sure. I don't know whether it's.
Oh my god, that was probably one of the best things I watched in the last.
I like ones like Making a Murderer.
I didn't get into that one.
Black Mirror.
Oh my god, loved that.
We've definitely got like a thriller theme going on.
I think that is a thing of this day and age, actually. I find that like everyone at work, actually, we have so many in-depth conversations about Black Mirror and like thriller books and things like that. I don't know what it is.
But do you know what I find? I've only started reading more because I've made myself switch off, because if not, I'm just at a screen all
exactly.
day. I was actually going to say, what is your guys' way of relaxing and switching off? Because I find that reading is a really good way, or I try to meditate. I'm not really good at it, and I don't think I've like got the hang of it yet, but I'm trying. But yeah, reading's definitely one of mine. What would you guys say you do to relax?
I go to the gym, and then from then on I don't go on my phone unless I have to.
Wow, that's so good.
That's brilliant.
Well, to be fair, it's only normally because I go to the gym, I get back around 8:30, and then I'm cooking, and then I don't know, with my boyfriend, so it's just like...
Yeah, it's time to relax.
So I just try and just don't go on my phone. But then, again, same as you, I've started I've got this app called Headspace.
Yeah, I've got that.
I just found it. And I've got Sam into it as well, so I've just started doing that.
I can't get into it.
It
takes a bit of time.
It does take time.
I just can't. I'm just, my brain is just constantly going.
It's like when they say, oh, put your mind down here or put your mind here. You get confused because you're like, I don't understand how you actually do that.
Yeah.
But I think I actually had a breathing class once called Transformational Breathing, and they said, and I was saying to her, like, I don't know how am I doing this? Am I doing it right? And she's like, the fact you're even thinking about doing it means that you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So even if you don't feel like you're doing it, I think.
Yeah, my mum's brilliant at it. She's done it for ages, and so I'm determined to nail it. But I do find that my mind does wander, and I don't know how people do it. People can sit there for like an hour and meditate.
It's okay
for
your mind.
Yeah.
But I find when I'm doing it, even on like the lowest setting or whatever, I'm like, when is this going to finish? Because I need to check my emails. Like,
that's
not
good.
It's so bad. But I think everyone's different. I have that personality. I wake up and I look at my emails, and then I pretty much look at them all the way into work, and then the only way I think I switched off is actually going out. Going out for dinner and drinks with friends, where I just leave my phone in my bag and I just have a conversation. That's the only time I properly.
Or even just sometimes, like, I'll go home from work and I'll just chat to someone. So like, if it's my mom or like a friend, I just, sometimes you go like an hour or two and you just stop on your phone. I just like to sit and just have a conversation and not look at my phone and just hear about someone else's day, like, where you're not thinking about yourself, what you've been doing for the whole day.
So another interesting thing that the internet is providing us is now a website that's called mymorningroutine.com, and it's where people can go to read other people's morning routines. Now, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs on there giving their tips on productivity and creativity and sort of how best to utilize their mornings. But are you a morning person, and do you have a very regimented morning routine?
I used to go to the gym before work, and now I just can't get out of bed.
Too tired.
I
don't really have anything specific.
No, I'm not a massive morning person, but
I think it's quite insightful if you're looking at it from how can I make my mornings more productive, then I think a website like that's a really cool. So you can see
Go on a website like that and check out?
I'm intrigued. I mean, if I wanted to do more things in the morning, I wanted to, see how other people, what they dedicate their time to in the mornings and how they become more productive before getting their main task done.
I just think every single person is so different, and like websites like this, okay, it's great to have that insight, but it doesn't mean that a successful entrepreneur or CEO is successful because they wake up at 5 a.m. and read a book every morning. I actually know loads of them that aren't morning people, and they carry on working till 3 a.m. and wake up at midday. So, I mean, it's insightful, but you can't really just change your routine just because someone else is doing something and they're more successful than you.
That's why we need to be careful with like what's on the internet and how seriously we take everything.
You absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot out there about the hours between 5 and 7, about that's when you can learn the most, absorb the most, and be most proactive generally about life. But I mean,
that's what a lot of these sort of people on there are saying. They'll wake up and meditate, or they'll wake up.
Say not to exercise actually, and wake up and maybe do an hour of reading, maybe do goal setting, maybe meditate, like so many different things. But and they say obviously it's difficult to wake up at 5 a.m. But people say that if you pass that 5 minute threshold of where you're tired, then you unlock this whole of the world. But I mean, I've never tried. I'm far too tired in the morning.
Yeah. I mean,
before my coffee.
I'm the type of person, I need a good like 7 to 8 hours sleep a night. So I would struggle. I mean, I would say I'm a morning person rather than an evening. I can definitely get up, and I'm not lazy or like not awake for a couple of hours. But 5 a.m. is a tough one, I think.
Yeah.
Now, a new season is very much approaching, that being autumn, and along with that inevitably comes change, a change in weather, sometimes a change in lifestyle, and definitely if you live in the UK, a change in wardrobe. So while it's not quite the right time to bust out the full sweater and knee-high boots combo, the head-to-toe white outfit that we've been rocking all summer isn't really going to be ideal anymore. So what are your go-to transitional autumn pieces?
I really like wearing like knee length skirts with like a sweater or something like that.
Nice.
With either like trainers or some like ankle boots. So you still have a little bit of leg on show or something to say it's not full winter and black tights, but yeah, get in there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think also a trench coat's really good because you know the lightweight trench coats.
Yeah.
So I tend to team that with like a jean and a blouse and then a trench coat.
Mine's not necessarily a piece, but print is leopard print. And I'm
yeah.
I love it at the moment. Like everything I keep buying, my mom's like, okay, do you want to stop now?
Yeah.
Winter,
yeah.
Like
and daytime or nighttime.
Yeah, it's very
trend.
That's the one.
Day to night
style. Yeah, so I feel like, and also it looks somehow put together, even if you're not put together.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think print wise, that'll probably be one that I wear a bit more this season.
Something that's meant to be really coming in 2018 is long cardigans. I don't really wear cardigans, but they look, there's some really nice ones coming out.
I can imagine the type of person would really pull that off. You know, Topshop, when I was like in year 9, did those cards, like the really brightly coloured ones, and they packed their pictures on them.
No, not you.
Just, yeah.
Like, only me. Well, yeah, I don't think I'd be able to pull off a long card. I'm going to go with a side sweater.
A chunky knit, yeah.
With like a waist belt.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys a winter or a summer dresser?
Summer.
I'm winter.
No way.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love summer, but I think there's something about winter when you can wear like, big coats and knee-high boots. Yeah.
I'm not, I just cover up every single day. I end up just wearing black jeans, a t-shirt and a jumper and a coat and like every single layer when it gets really cold.
Yeah.
Whereas summer, I just feel like I can bring out all the dresses, all the accessories.
Yeah, there's a bit more
stone
colour.
Yeah,
and
colour.
Summer, which is so nice, like it's so weird, you'll walk down the street and not everyone's in black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It matches your mood, the weather, I guess.
Matches your mood.
Christmas time.
No, the weather, I suppose, you're matching, like,
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great time to wrap up our second podcast. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Have you enjoyed yourselves?
Yeah. Yes, thanks.
For those listening, thank you so much for tuning in and keep an ear out for our next episode, which will be episode 3, which will be an influencer exclusive with the Wade twins. Bye.